Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
If you missed our last program, you've got to get this. This is a continuing conversation about learning a little bit about our history and why are people doing what they're doing. And our last program concluded with a revelation of, you know, religions being used to organize the world. It's like radical Islam is being used by people who understand, as we talked about in previous programs, things like rules for radicals, the Saul Alinsky model. You know, our president and Hillary Rodham Clinton, they were actually mentored by Saul Alinsky. But these methods have been around for years. I mean, as a matter of fact, the book itself that talks about they taught it and this is what they've done, and the Chicago Tribune write about the Chicago Tribune about President Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton on the back of it. It's dedicated to Lucifer in the front of it. I mean, these are Lucifer. They did give a big shout out to him that used these kind of tactics. But right now, and what we found out when we were going through this history lesson about, you know, the reason why we have a Navy, Thomas Jefferson, our third president, had to actually develop a Navy to defend our American citizens in their ships that were going through the Barbary Coast area, which was the northern countries of Africa, which were Ottoman Empire, you know, states there, Muslim states. So there was Muslim pirates that were going on. And they, according to the Islamic faith, that if you're a non-believer, if you don't believe in Muhammad, then you're an infidel, and all the property you have, including you, belongs to them. You're in that boat that you're in, and all that merchandise is their inheritance. And they begin to take Americans as slaves. I mean, thousands and thousands of them were being taken as slaves. So Thomas Jefferson went over and tried to resolve all that. And we talked about it in the last program, and that's where America fought its first foreign war. That's why you hear about the Marines hymn when they talk about you know, the anthem that, you know, from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli. That is right where, as you can see right now, those 21 Christians were knelt down on the shores of Tripoli, and they were taken. They cut their heads off and killed them on the shores of Tripoli. But we had to go there for this particular war. We had to go there, and defend our American citizens from Islam. Islam was taking our citizens as slaves. And for years, according to reports, that the church would actually in France would pay tribute and pay to get their citizens back. And we couldn't afford to do that as a nation. Besides, prior to the American Revolution, France actually protected the waterways, but once we became a nation, we had to develop our own protection, and that's where the Navy came from. That's why the Marines had to go there to the shores of Tripoli to be able to fight for Americans, get them out of slavery. They're being taken slavery. All those years, it's our third president, America. Our third president, and a couple presidents obviously before that as well, the two. They had to work on trying to get, you know, radical Islam from harming American citizens as we were traveling the world and doing trade. And so you're thinking, my goodness, we talked about the apology tour that our president had across the nations. I think Islam needs to have an apology tour. But what we found out is this. We found out is that when you look at the percentages, it's like less than one half of 1%. Of the population of America, or even are Muslims, and it's not a threat. No, Muslims aren't a threat to Americans, not to the faith in America. I mean, it's not, but people are using that. It seems like those that are in leadership are using religion to create fear, like the Alinsky Rules for Radicals model says, that you got to keep a militant force going to get people fearful when they start crying out, help, save us, you know, here's our freedom, and they surrender First Amendment rights, they surrender Second Amendment rights, they surrender Fourth Amendment rights. And hopefully we'll be talking soon about the Fourth Amendment, because the Fourth Amendment says that the government should not be able to search your papers or property without having a warrant. And in that, you know, they have to be very specific. For example, if they're looking for a needle in the haystack, they have to have, and the needle has to be a crime. A probable cause that to possess a needle is a crime, or that you might be in possession of a needle, for example, say if that was a crime, they have to write down on a piece of paper and carry it to a judge and says, we believe that so-and-so has a needle in their haystack. And so they can actually take that warrant and go into your haystack, and they can only look for the needle. That's what the Constitution does. The Constitution provides, you know, being able to look just for the needle. But now this is what's taking place today. This is what's taking place today. They are asking for the haystack. And they're not even saying that a needle's a crime. They're taking all your papers, all your data, all your information, and people are just surrendering it over because they're just so fearful that that some computer virus or somebody's going to hurt us, and you're like surrendering all your freedoms. We have to stop for a moment and think, what are we doing? Is this really an enemy? Are we really in that kind of danger, or are they just being used to organize the world? And it looks like this Rules for Radicals concept is being used to actually try to organize the world. And fear is a tactic with that. But we have to understand, listen, there is no fear for those who are in God. But we want to begin to think about, you know, in our history lesson here, as we're talking about Winston Churchill, and we talked about in a previous program, you know, our president, when he first got into office, he sent that bust back that was given to President George Bush during his first administration when 9/11 hit. And obviously it stands for a real difficult time coming. So and they loaned it to him for his first term, and they loaned it again for a second term. But when President Barack Obama came in, they were going to loan it to him as well. But what they did was, he says, he just gave it back. And it made a lot of sense because his grandfather, reports are, was part of the Kenyan Rebellion and was suppressed by Winston Churchill. And according to the former president of King's College, Dinesh D'Souza, that he was tortured, you know, by the British during that time and colonization and all that. We'll talk more about that today. But today we want to kind of just explore, you know, Winston Churchill. What does that mean? Because on the apology tour, when our president went around the world apologizing, he apologized. He said, listen, we are no longer a world, and I'll get the exact quote in a moment. We're no longer a world that sits down with Winston Churchill and Franklin Delano Roosevelt in a room who just dictate some rules that people have to live by. Nor do we want to live by those rules. So he was making a statement of the colonization and things that have taken place, that's something that we need to undo that. And it looks like it's being undone, you would think about it. So follow me over here, and we'll talk about more about Winston Churchill. John, what's going on, man?
Man, you know, this is so exciting, being able to get all of this history and putting into perspective. Because a lot of things are happening in the news, but so many of God's people are not able to connect the dots and understand it. There's a story behind the story. We just didn't get here. You know, things are happening, and being able to understand and put things into perspective makes all the difference in the world. I want you to encourage you to stay tuned as we're continuing to unpack this and unfold this. But also don't forget that we are every single day, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m., on WHBR. You don't want to miss that. Set your DVRs. You don't want to miss one program. And, of course, you can always find out more information by going to VFNTV.com.
So, listen. So, this ugly bust. It's like, Jiminy.
It was a gift.
It's gone.
It was on
now
loan.
I looked at it. It was on loan. It's gone.
Loan from England.
Can somebody put the bust back up here?
Where is it?
This bust.
There he is.
There he is. You know, and, you know, this is 9/11, I think, what is being presented to him. And it's like, you know, what does that represent? You know, what does that bust represent? And so I was doing a little research, you know, trying to figure out, you know, what it represented. And so you look at Winston Churchill. He was the prime minister of Great Britain during that time. And I looked back when I was studying the significance about, you know, Kenya and Africa and, you know, the colonization of things that took, you know, took place out of Great Britain. Well, I found out that Churchill, in December 1905, Churchill became the Undersecretary of State for the colonies.
Hmm.
So he represented, Churchill represented to Africans as the one who was over the colonies. Hmm. Not a good thing if you're being colonized. Dealing with mainly the South African after the Boer War, which are, I'm not going to talk about that.
As the undersecretary of the colonies from 1905 to 1908, Churchill's primary focus was on settling the Transvaal Constitution. You got to get this, which was accepted by Parliament. It was accepted by Parliament in 1907. So he's over the colonies, primarily South Africa. He is has this Transvaal Constitution that he's supposed to enact, right? Mm-hmm. And so you're thinking, well, now we know a little bit more. If you've caught our previous programs, it was pretty, you know, with radical Islam, the things that were taking place. Well, Islam, period, was taking place. Mm-hmm. And people were being taken as slaves and all that. But when you look at what this constitution said and the discussion they were having about the discussion, because you're in Africa. It's like you know, when the first black president of South Africa.
Nelson Mandela.
Think about it. The first, it was so crazy. You think about, okay, we're in Africa, and the first black president was Nelson Mandela all these years later.
Something's weird there.
But then you start looking at history here, and you look at history, and this transverse constitution that was voted by Parliament because of the colonization it said in specifically part of it says, with the government's proposal, and I'm reading from their discussion, to confer suffrage. By the way, suffrage means to vote. I don't know what's up with that. You know, the women's suffrage movement, that actually means vote, just so you know that. But with the government proposed to confer the right to vote on all adult white males. You're in Africa. Dear God. What was wrong with mankind? Okay. So so his job is to execute this constitution, and it says to be able to get the right to vote for all white males with a general agreement, though we recognize, it goes on to say, that without a property qualification, many difficulties may arise in withholding the vote. Many difficulties may arise because of not owning properties and withholding the vote from the natives and the colored population.
Wow.
So they were already thinking, like, how do we keep the people who live in this land, the people of color?
Right.
And from what I understand, the numbers were like there was 90,000 total and in this particular city, and there was like 20,000 British. So how can we keep the most folks, the people whose land this is?
Right.
So they immediately, when this Transvaal Constitution was about, you know, we need to word it in a way that the black man can't vote. I'm thinking, wow. Dear God, you're in Africa.
Wow.
You're in Africa. More when we get back from this break, you're going to understand why would he send the bus back? It makes sense. It's like, sure. Get him out of my family. I want to see this guy right here.
Right.
I mean, he tortured my grandfather, you know, Hussein Obama, according in the Kenyan Rebellion, you know, according to reports. And, Winston Churchill did. And you can say what you want to. If that's your grandfather, that's your grandfather.
That's right.
And now you understand why the president says, you know, we don't want to be a nation that tortures folks, because he saw, you know, the ramifications of that, supposedly. And now, you know, Winston Churchill comes in and says he's working, and he might as well, you know, Parliament agreed to it. He's sitting here over it. And so he's executing this thing that basically says, how can we figure this out? Because the problem was, there's been the Boers that have been there a little bit longer than others, that they've actually mixed their blood already. So they're trying to figure out how do you, we'll talk more about this. There's some people that has some African blood in them, but yet they're, and I'm thinking, oh my Lord. Goodness. You're looking at this ugly bust over here. I know you can see it. It just keeps going away. It's so ugly. It just disappears. That's of Winston Churchill. I mean, if you don't look good, that's the best way to do it. Just splash some stuff on there. Right? Yeah. That would probably be something like, I don't want a bust. Anyway, so. Why did the president send it back? We're starting to see, you know, there's Winston Churchill was over, you know, part of when this Transvaal Constitution of this, he was over the colonies, primarily in South Africa, with Great Britain, the parliament voted how they were going to colonize things. And, it's just, you know, and so we're finding out they were concerned that, you know, as they were, voting on this thing about how they're going to give white male. I mean, they're in Africa. They were trying to figure out how they're going to give white men the right to vote. Notice women wasn't even included in there either. you know, and they were really concerned about them. They started talking about the Boers, the B-O-E-Rs, that's how you spell their name, and that because they've been there quite a while, and they had some African blood in them. And so they started talking about, you know, how much, and it's like, to me, I always wondered, like, you got to check a box on a application. It's like, what point do you check the box? I mean, 10%, 5%? What about human race? And there should be like one box that says human race. And I just always, you know, I thought it was kind of strange how to do that. And so then you're starting to find out is what they were saying here. And he says and they're trying to figure out how to be able to give this white man the vote and the Boers who had, you know, white blood in them, but also some African blood in them that without giving the vote to the natives or the colored population. So the decision adopted in regards to the colored inhabitants of the Transvaal is one which we presume, I'm reading, this is the thing, will gain the assent of the large portion of the white population of Transvaal. They're trying to pander to the white vote.
Wow.
In Africa. Dear God. And at the same time, it may easily work grave injustice. And I'm thinking, oh, here, they're concerned now. They're realizing that's unjust to consider the African votes, right? And this is why they consider it unjust. At the same time, it may easily work a grave injustice. If the condition of the European birth or European descendant is to be enforced strictly and logically, it must exclude persons who are partly African descent. So they were the injustice was that you shouldn't let any Africans vote at all. Anyone has any blood at all in their own country,
wow,
in their own continent. You know, he says, and he goes on to say right here too. He says, now it is notorious that a very considerable number of Boers, which are those mixed blood people, are partial Africans and descendants. Are we to inquire of their pedigree in such persons? Clearly, it would be impossible to do so without most, being real difficult to do. He said, but the results of this will be, as we pointed out a fortnight ago, because I'm reading from about then, that a man with a strain of African blood will get to vote if he is a Boer.
Wow.
They were trying to figure out how the black man can't vote in Africa.
Wow.
That's crazy. But it's true. I'm reading it right here. This is what this ugly dude right here, Winston Churchill.
Pride is an ugly thing, isn't it?
It is. So the British descendants, a mixture of native blood, are not by any means so readily admitted as to be white as Boers in the same position. So they're literally, the whole thing was, how do we get white people to vote? This is Africa. This is the continent of Africa. What arrogance did Great Britain have? And their whole, by the way, if you read the whole thing, the very beginning of it was, we try to bring justice to people and representative government to the people. But what they voted, what Parliament voted on based on this understanding is that how can we do it differently here? Because everywhere they had, look at Australia, look at all these different places that, they did it. But when they got to Africa, they decided not to do it. And they favored the white man in Africa. And it's like, and the Boers, by the way, that whole thing is where reports are that apartheid eventually came from that. So the one that kind of got partially, and they could have been voted out because they had certain blood.
Hey, that's strain.
That is the strain. The word was strain. America, the word was strain.
Strain.
All men are created in the image and the likeness of God. This is what the word of God says. If you don't love your brother who you can see, you don't love God. There's a lot of people that die in the name of God that don't know God. They die doing what they call God's work. And God don't even know them. He doesn't even know them. One way that you know, if you know God, if you love men, they're creating his image and his likeness. All men are created by God. All of our rights come from God. It is not okay for Great Britain to go and oppress the African people and tell them, if you have a strain of the people who live in this continent, who God chose for them to live in this continent, that they can't have any representative government, and you call yourself as like, come on, that's like wild. Yes, they were already being oppressed by Islam already, that was going on, reports are, you know, according to the Barbary Coast and all that. But you have Great Britain, so why? I would send his bus back too. I would send the bus back too. I'm thinking, like, I don't think so. If you came down, he was over the one responsible for working on getting that constitution, you know, going there. And so then I think about, you know, I look at another thing about Churchill here, and, you know, every one of us have histories and those type of things. But then I realize, you know, and we, all these sources are available to you. We have available to you on The Torch. Go to VFNTV.com. But you know that Great Britain, John, they were the first ones responsible for drawing oil out of Iran.
Great Britain.
Great Britain. And prior to that, I guess they didn't, because they, everything, all the ships ran on coal. And so when you had a ship, they would shove coal in the thing and burn and, you know, heat up the water, spins the turbine, all that kind of stuff. Well, during Churchill, he switched over to oil. He switched the military over to oil during his. And it's just a strange thing. It's just really weird, too, because, you know, he was responsible for switching over to oil. And for some reason, according to reports, in 1919, Churchill sanctioned the use of it was 1923, about burning oil in the ships. But also, they bought out, I believe, an oil company called something oil, which later became BP, British Petroleum. So British Petroleum's roots come from the first one that drew oil, according to reports, out of Iran's soil. And somebody said, this is a war for oil. But then he says, you know, he became a representative for BP, or with the oil, not BP, the name prior to being BP. So he actually, when he got in his career, he represented and became a part of this oil company that he switched over government over to. Oh my goodness. So you went and did the, oh my goodness. And so it's like, I mean, think about it. Churchill switched the military over to oil from coal. The Brits are the ones responsible for bringing oil out of Iran. They, you know, they're all government owned things over there. So they own this oil company. So all of a sudden, he comes on with them and starts, you know, making a living, I guess, off of that, reports are. And it becomes BP, which we saw the huge spill in the Gulf came. That was British Petroleum is where that came from. It's another sign. We're talking about these different signs. Yeah. So what happened? So then if you look at the signs, when the oil pours all over the Gulf Coast, and you connect that with Winston Churchill, and you connect that with Iran, who today we're actually saying, you know, Iran's building nuclear weapons, you know, and all this. It's like, but their oil just spilt all over our, you know, are our chickens coming home to roost?
Wow.
You think about it. Outside of God, we've all fallen short. There's nobody perfect. It's because of God's grace on America. God shed his grace on America. It's not because anyone's good. Anybody, if we turn our backs on God, the sins of our fathers are going to overtake us like a tsunami. You can't go back and make things. You can only repent for things. You can only repent for things. But you can't fix these things. These things are, they just keep going back all the way to the Garden of Eden. It never stops. But when we turn our hearts to God, God sheds his grace on us. There's no hope in a man except the man Jesus Christ. And in him, all hope is not in vain. We're looking here at this Churchill bust here, you're looking at it, and it says a lot. We can learn a lot about what's going on, and God still speaks, and he speaks through different things that are going on. But this is Winston Churchill bust, and it was sent back by President Barack Obama, who became president, and I believe it was sitting in the ambassador of Great Britain in Washington, D.C. I think it's sitting there, according to the Telegraph, London Telegraph. But, you know, getting back to this BP company, in 1923, Churchill acted as a paid consultant to Burma Oil, which now is called BP, as the British was the first one to access oil, to lobby the British government to allow Burma to have exclusive rights to Persian oil. to Iranian oil. So he argued to have it. Also, in 1919, Churchill sanctioned the use of tear gas on the Kurds, in Iraq. Though the British did consider the use of this non-lethal gas, they decided to use conventional weapons instead. So, I mean, when you think about we're telling people today how horrific it is to use this gas in Syria, and how, you know, Hussein gassed the Kurds in Iraq, and it's like this. Winston Churchill authorized it to be done, but they did not do it. And it's like the further you go back and look at men, the more you realize we need Jesus. You know, we all need Jesus. But of an apology tour, I mean, if you're going to start apologizing, and repentance is always good, I mean, the best way to is just start, but you'll never finish
right
until the Lord returns. But just when, you know, if anything, Islam needs to apologize to the nations of the world. Because you look at the little short vapor history of America that just started a few years ago compared to, yes, when people say, you know, and as Americans, that for some reason we just think we always were. And it's like, no, we weren't, then we were.
All right.
And you compare the length of how long Islam's been around to how long America's been around, you can't just say it didn't exist. And somebody says, I'm throwing the alphabet out. I'm just not going to use the alphabet anymore. He says, why? He says, because my teacher that taught me them is an atheist. It's like, you're going to need these letters, and the vowels are going to be very important to you. You know, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Right. And if somebody did teach you how to read, they did. It's okay. It's all right. It's human beings. God loves the human race.
Sure.
But it doesn't mean that that belief is right. And we've talked about this again and again, that the acceptance of Islam is the denial of Jesus Christ as the Son of God. It's the anti-Jesus Christ as the Son of God religion. They say he's a prophet, and he's going to have to come back and repent for calling himself the Son of God. Then he will assist. There's their guy that's going to come out the ground. And that's why they're walking in Mecca around that the hole in the ground, the well. And he's going to put a mark on them, and that's going to make them – he's like, oh, my deceptive goodness, crickets, this is crazy. And so understand that it looks like that religion's being used to organize the world. You know, and when you look at Rules for Radicals, Saul Alinsky's book, somebody who mentored our president, according to the Chicago Tribune, I believe it is, and Hillary Clinton, they said, you know, make them live up to their own rule book. That's one of the things. Make them live up to their own rule book, because nobody can live by the law. They'll fail. And so you're looking at this religion just pushing. And the more that you push religion instead of a relationship with God through his son, the worse it looks. And if you start arguing with somebody over religion, it's like, dude, you've lost. Because no man's righteous, no, not one, but only through Jesus Christ are we made right. Not by our own works. We can't do that. You can't just boastfully just begin to proclaim things like that. You got to bring Jesus up. And that's why other religions, especially Islam, brings Jesus down, because he is the one access to God. And they want to remove him as much as they can from every place, even from the military. They don't want Jesus' name brought up in the military. It's like, that's how awesome he is, by the way. But of all the things to do, they were looking for ways, as this Transvaal Constitution, through Churchill, who was over it, to figure out how the black man can't vote in the continent of Africa.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.